Well, we've been in a series talking about toxic traits. That word toxic, that sounds like a really uplifting and great word to use at church and to focus on, but it means poisonous, very harmful or unpleasant in a pervasive or insidious way. Don't you love it when the definition of a word uses other big words that you don't know what they mean as well? But toxic traits, and remember we said, we're not talking toxic people. People are not toxic. But there are some traits, there are some things that can become toxic if we're not careful. Last week, Pastor talked about being critical, and that trait and how that can be toxic. And this week, we're going to talk about the toxic trait of needy. Now, let me say, and I'm going to hit this again, but let me say right from the beginning, there's a difference between having a need and living in a needy, continuously needy place, okay? There's a difference between having a need. So don't walk out here today and say, Joel said that we're not supposed to have any needs and we're not supposed to meet any needs. No, that's not what Joel said. And we will go to the tape to prove it if you say that. Because I don't know about you, but I have needs every day. Anybody else have a need this week? Maybe something that's weighed on you a little bit? We've been joking for the last couple weeks here about our trip to Jamaica and some of the needs that presented themselves when we were there. 2 weeks ago at this time, we were finally pulling into the parking lot here around this time after a very eventful trip home. As we came through customs and had some delays and all that, as we're sprinting through the airport with our luggage in hand and we get to the counter and we're kind of stalled there in line, and I'm on the phone with a gate agent begging for some grace to hold a plane, and they basically say they can't. I found myself in great need, knowing that there were 28 other people that were going to be stuck in an airport with me all night long, and we're going to have to figure out a way to get home. As we were also in Jamaica, the water went out in the home mission house that we were at. Many of you have heard that story, and found myself in great need as I'm leading this group of, you know, at that time, there were still 40 of us together. We got separated in the airport, but 40 of us, and how we're going to make it through a couple days without water. And God provided, and there was some creative ways that we did that. And even at the very beginning of the trip, as we went through customs into Jamaica, and I was pulled aside and kind of grilled and had to step through some hoops to get past customs, and I was in great need. So needs are very real. I'm just saying that, and I've been through plenty of them here recently. And as there will always be needs before us, as Jesus lovers and followers, we're called by God to help. Often those who are in need can be too embarrassed and maybe sometimes too prideful to ask for help. But that's why we need to make it easier, and we've got to be sure to be Holy Spirit sensitive, to be led by the Lord, to be able to generously offer help as needed. God gives us a heart for those who are down and out, and I would also say are up and out at times. But here's what I want to land on today. The help that we give is not to be a handout. It's to be a hand up. Okay? Can I say that again? The help that we're to give is not to be a handout, but a hand up. Because I mentioned there's a difference between having a need and living in a place of ongoing neediness that doesn't just come from an external situation, but comes from maybe poor decisions, maybe lack of discipline, maybe lack of accountability, maybe where there's no true desire or fire to help oneself. There are just sometimes individuals that are constantly in a state of need. And we're not just talking about financial need either. That's often where our mind will go initially when we talk about that, but that's not always the case. Because how many of you know there are what I will call relational vampires who seem at times to be intent on sucking the life out of you and out of me and out of us. And then once they do, kind of throw us to the side maybe, and move on. We all, and I know nobody's going to admit it here on a Sunday in church, but We all probably have an individual or individuals that when that call comes through on the phone or you see the text come through and you see the name, you are instantly drained before any conversation even happens. You're instantly at a place where you know that they're probably not just calling to say, hey, how's your day? I'm calling to encourage you. I want to take you to lunch. Just want to be a blessing to you today. They're probably calling with some sort of need, and you know that it will inevitably be a drain on you. Maybe it's an individual that's somewhat insecure, and so they're constantly checking up, and they want to make sure that your relationship is all good, that there's no worries, and they're just constantly there in your face, making sure that everything is well. Or maybe it's somebody that feels that they need to share with you everything and anything that they are thinking or that they've been through that week. They're just constantly talking and have your ear. And maybe there's a deeper need for a relationship there, but they're just constantly consuming of your time and your energy. And then sometimes it is financial or it is material, and there are those that just, it feels like they're constantly taking from you. It can be draining. It can be difficult. Henry Cloud says, a needy person is often a very good person who is not truly toxic at heart. He may simply be going through his own dark night of the soul, as do all of us at some point. Or he may have a dependent character issue that prevents him from being autonomous and in charge. Though a needy person may be good-hearted, his impact on you and your aspirations may have the outcome of being toxic and a distraction from your path. So how do we handle this? As followers of Christ, how do we walk in helping people, helping individuals that may be in this place of neediness for not just one need, but for ongoing, seems like a lifestyle? How do we have hearts full of compassion to help those in need while we live in this tension of knowing that at some point there needs to be a line drawn, that we don't have endless resources, that we don't have endless time, that we don't have endless ability to constantly meet all these needs? There's this tension that we live in, and part of the difficulty of that tension is when we do draw a line, if we do draw a line, often those that are in need don't feel like we've drawn that line at the appropriate place. That maybe there's not been enough giving, there's not been enough time, there's not been enough attention. And so we live with this challenge. But of course, we need to go to God's word to help us as we're walking through this. Matthew 9:36, speaking of Jesus, says, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. And oftentimes that can be those people in our lives, those people that are in need regularly, and it feels like sometimes even constantly. They're lost, they're scattered, they're tired. They may feel like they have no one to help them. And we are to step as Jesus does. We are to step in with compassion. And Jesus is the perfect example. He had an intense, deep affection and mercy for those that were within his touch, within his presence. And I think we can agree that he cared for and took care of people better than anybody, but yet he didn't heal every single person. He didn't necessarily meet every need that was before him in the way that maybe it was expected of him. He did seem to take it somewhat case by case. John 5:19-20 says, Jesus gave them this answer, very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, and he will show him even greater works than these, so that you will be amazed. So even Jesus was always about watching the Father and it being in tune with the Father to lead and guide and direct the steps that he took. And that's why it's so important for us that we need to live so closely to God that we can listen carefully and be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's prompts. Because even the things that we think maybe we're supposed to do to reach out, to be there for those in need, aren't what God would have us do. I mentioned, I believe we're called to give a hand up and not just always a hand out. When we give a hand out, that may make us feel better. We may give ourselves a little pat on the back. It may allow us to move on without any guilt on our countenance or on who we are. But oftentimes, not always, but oftentimes, a hand out can do more harm than good. Because sometimes that hand out just enables and perpetuates a cycle that an individual may be in. And instead of that, God is calling us to give a hand up, to help pull them out of that. So I want to talk with you today about how do we do this? How do we not enable but help when we come across those, when we have people in our lives that seem to be constantly in need? Well, one thing I would say that we need to do is we need to give what is needed and maybe not always what is wanted. Again, I'll say we need to give what is needed and not always what is wanted. Acts 3, verses 1 and 2 tells a story. Peter and John, they went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the prayer service. And as they approached the temple, a man lame from birth was being carried in. Each day he was put beside the temple gate, the one called the Beautiful Gate, so he could beg from the people going into the temple. So here's a gentleman truly in need. He's lame, can't get around by himself. And each day he's taken to the temple, he's sat down at the gate where individuals will come in, and there he's basically begging all day long, hoping that he gets enough. Maybe he gets enough money, maybe he gets some scraps of food, just basically that he gets enough to continue to survive. And as Peter and John come to the temple that day, Peter says in Acts 3, verses 6 and 7, "I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, get up and walk." Then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. And as he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. This, I would say, is a classic example, a biblical example of literally a hand up and not a hand out. And here's the thing, we might look at that and say, well, yeah, that was a miracle that God did in and through them. But last I checked, Peter and John didn't have access to any different God than we do today. The same power that they had access to offer that hand up to that individual, to that lame man, we have access to that same power today. And the thing that they were able to do is, now, they say they didn't have any silver or gold, but wouldn't it have been a lot easier maybe to toss a couple coins at this man and continue to walk by, to maybe meet a physical need that seemed to be his most obvious need? That might have been the easiest thing to do, but they looked past that. Because of their relationship with Christ, they were able to look past that and see not just maybe the surface need, not just maybe what he wanted, but what he truly needed. They were able to look past and offer that need. Now, maybe the man that wasn't able to work before, wasn't able to create income for himself, to take care of himself, their hand up actually met the deepest need that he had and enabled him to move forward. And here's the reality for a lot of us. The hand out often is easier. The hand up might require more effort, more time, more resources. And so oftentimes, we might not even want to look past what they want because we know to give them what they need is going to require more of us. It's going to require us to walk more closely with the Lord. It might require more time of us. It might require more energy of us. It might disrupt our schedule a little bit more. But the hand up brings lasting change instead of the hand out, where the person just continues to be enabled to live in that cycle of need, whatever it might be. One example I thought of as I was thinking of this, it's not uncommon for individuals to come to the church who are in financial need, looking for some financial help. And sometimes there's a legitimate need there, maybe a one-time thing, a way that we can be a blessing. But other times, often, it's to meet a need that will honestly continue to be a cycle. And it's an enabling to maybe just give a hand out at that time. And what might require more time, more energy, more effort, but yet be better for them is to say, well, can we spend some time with you to talk about setting up a budget? Can we spend some time to talk with you about job training skills? Can we spend some time and energy with you to talk about interpersonal skills? Those things that would require more, but yet are of lasting value to that individual, to help them get to a point where they truly can thrive instead of just survive, to where we're not just perpetuating a cycle. They may need to learn how to plan to meet expenses. They may need to be accountable to somebody. They may need to learn that their identity is in Christ and not just in monetary things or material things. So we've got to be close enough to God to see the true need, to identify the true need that is right before us. And we also, at times, we need to pay attention to actions that are before us as well. Those that may, simple example, somebody may say, well, I have this need because I can't get a job. Well, maybe it's not just that nobody will hire them. Maybe it's that they haven't put action to it. Maybe they haven't put forth the effort to put in applications, to have interviews, those types of things. Sometimes what comes at us on the surface isn't the true need. And we've got to be in tune enough with the Lord and courageous enough to give people what they need, not just always what they want. A second thing that we may need to do at times to show compassion, to help those that are living in need, is to set healthy boundaries. Now, this one sometimes seems contradictory. But Mark 1, verses 35 through 37 says, before daybreak the next morning, Jesus got up and went out to an isolated place to pray. Later, Simon and the others went out to find him, and when they found him, they said, everyone is looking for you. Have you ever had a time where you just needed some space, but it felt like everybody in the world was looking for you? Everybody needed you. You had somebody pulling you this way, somebody pulling you that way. If you have kids, undoubtedly, you know what that feels like. When you're trying to get some place and space in your home, and this child needs this, this child needs that, and that's understandable as children, but we probably all have experienced that to some degree. But even Jesus needed time alone with God because he could be humanly depleted. Yes, he was fully God, but he was fully man as well. And he needed some time away to be replenished, to be refreshed, to be renewed. And I'll throw in here, kind of tongue in cheek, maybe it was the disciples that he actually needed space from even more than some of the other people. The ones that he was constantly with and just at times couldn't seem to get it, who he was and what he was really about. But he knew that he needed to be refreshed so that he could help others. We need the same. We need to be full. We need to have God continually pouring into us so that we can pour to others. We've given examples of our trip to Jamaica, and of course we were on a plane going and coming there, and when you're on a plane, you always hear the speech about all the safety stuff, and that if the cabin loses pressure, that oxygen mask will be deployed from above you. And what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to put your mask on first, right? And I used to, when I first started flying, I never understood that. I'm like, that is so selfish. That is so me-focused. I should be about helping other people. But we all know the reality is that if I'm not in a good place, if I'm not If I'm not good, I can't help anybody else. If I'm gasping for breath, how am I going to help rescue somebody else as well? And so we can think of that same example in this scenario, that if I'm not at a healthy place, how can I be of assistance to somebody else? If I don't have healthy boundaries in place, I may not be at a place to be of assistance when God calls me to be. So sometimes we have to set up boundaries in our lives. We might have to set some time guards on our lives. I may not be able to be available 24/7 to somebody because eventually I'm going to run out. I may need to say, you know, yes, we can set up a time to get together here. We can set up a time to get together there. Or maybe if I don't have time, I can help set them up with somebody else. But I've got to set time aside to be replenished and refueled and refilled by the Lord. I may need to protect time with my family as well, and I need to set boundaries there. So there may be some time guards we need to set up, some time boundaries. We may need to set up some resource guards, if you will. I don't know about you. I don't have unlimited resources. I'd love, you know, my dad used to say, money doesn't grow on trees. I'd love to have that money tree in my backyard. But I don't have unlimited resources, financial or otherwise. And so I may need to set some guards on my resources. I may need to set aside some things. And as I do that, then I can be more in tune with the Holy Spirit about how he wants to direct me to use those resources. So I may need to set up some healthy boundaries in my life. And then the third thing that we may need to do, and this is a tough one. This is a hard one to preach because I might get some looks from you. But sometimes what we need to do, the most loving thing that we can do for somebody who is caught in this perpetual cycle of neediness, is allow them to feel the consequences of their actions. That doesn't sound real loving and caring and soft, but unfortunately, sometimes that's what needs to happen. The Bible says that we reap what we sow, and sometimes if they're constantly protected from reaping what they sow, they may never get out of the cycle that they're in. Galatians 6 talks about that reaping and sowing. It says, don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. Sometimes the most loving thing we can do is not rescue somebody from the decisions they've made. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, kids and young ones who are in danger. No, we've got to step in. I'm talking about those that know better, those that continue to make decisions that are focused on self, that are focused on what feels good or what I want now versus maybe what is the right thing to do. Those that have been told the truth, that their lives have been spoken into time after time after time, and they just don't seem to get it. It doesn't sink in. Sometimes the most loving thing we can do, and oftentimes the hardest thing we can do, is allow those God's natural consequences to play out. For parents, for grandparents, sometimes that is the most difficult thing to do. I think about the story of the prodigal son in Luke 15. If you don't know that story, there's a man, he's got a son, he's got multiple sons, but the one son comes to him and basically says, I want my inheritance now. I don't want to wait till you're dead. I want my inheritance now because I want to do with it what I want to do with it, and now's the time. And I got to imagine, I mean, this isn't in Scripture, but I got to imagine at this point in this young man's life, the father has probably seen certain actions and certain decisions over his life before this point. I got to imagine that he's seen things in his son that maybe he's been frustrated with, whatever. I can't imagine this is the first time the son just out of the blue decided, I'm going to just really make this bad choice. There's probably been hints along the way. The father's probably tried to speak truth into his son, probably tried to lead and guide and direct him. But at this point, the father just finally says, okay. And he gives him his inheritance. He gives what would be rightfully his. And I'm guessing, again, doesn't say this specifically, but I'm guessing the father's knowing that there's probably going to be some bad consequences that come out of this. If this is what his son is asking for, it's probably not going to end in a way that is uplifting and encouraging and pleases the Lord. But he does it. He does it. Because I'm sure the father knows, as do some of us know, that sometimes people have to hit rock bottom. People have to hit a difficult spot before they will wake up, before they will see what they've been living in. So he gives the son his inheritance, and as can be expected, the son goes off and he squanders all this wealth. He squanders it all. There's a famine in the land, and now he's at rock bottom. If you read the story, it actually says he was at such a place that he was desiring to eat the very slop that he was feeding the pigs to try and just make it through. That's how bad it had gotten. And as we think, maybe, man, that was kind of a rough thing for the father just to allow that to happen, or to think about us allowing some consequences to play out. Here's the beauty of the story. The son finally comes to the point where he realizes, what in the world am I doing? I have a father who loves me, and I am stuck in this place, and I'm allowing myself to be stuck in this place when I know I can run back to him. He says at that point, like, I'll even just go back and be his slave. I don't need anything. I just want to go back and be with my father. And the beauty of it for us is that we've got a God that loves us enough that when it comes to it, if we need to trust somebody to him and allow them to endure some consequences, we can trust that God loves them enough that he'll move and work in those times and be able to do so much more than we could have ever done with a handout. You know, pastors said it before that sometimes as parents, we want to prepare the road for our kids instead of prepare our kids for the road. We can't always be there to remove every bump, to remove every obstacle. And sometimes if we do, if we continue those handouts, lessons are never learned and we actually do more harm than good. And it's simply a handout and not a hand up. So the challenge for us today, as we think through this idea of neediness, this what can be a toxic trait of neediness, how do we as followers of Christ, how do we as those that want to follow Christ's example, how do we walk this out? The idea is that we need to offer a hand up and not a handout. We need to be able to see the specific need, the true need, not just what the individual wants, but what they need. We need to be able to call that out. We need to be walking closely enough with the Lord that he empowers us to do that. We need to be walking close enough with the Lord that he helps us to set the boundaries that we need to set. The knowing that we can't run on empty, that we need to be replenished, we need to be refueled. We need his pouring into us to be of any help, that we need to set boundaries. And then thirdly, to know that sometimes when everything else has failed, that sometimes we have to allow the consequences to play out. That we need to be able to trust him enough to hear from the Lord. And I'm not just talking about abandoning people, just carte blanche, but when we hear from the Lord, when we're walking closely enough with him, that he says, the best thing that you can do at this moment, the most loving thing that you can do is allow them to experience a consequence. Sometimes that's what we've got to do too. And that doesn't always sit well. It's quiet in this room, right? That's tough because we may be thinking of that situation. We may be thinking of that individual that we love so much, and we know they're not a toxic person, but they're caught in a toxic cycle. They're caught in a toxic neediness that is not for their best, that's not for the best for those around them. It's hard. These things are not easy. But what God calls us to at times is not always easy. Sometimes following the Lord is difficult. And sometimes it's difficult because we need to put these things in place to truly be a help to others, to not enable, to not allow them to continually live below what God's called them, where God's called them to live. And I don't just mean financially. I just mean emotionally, spiritually, mentally, all those areas of life. Sometimes we've got to be willing to do these seemingly tough things in order to help others up, to help others up, to help them, to give them that hand up so they can find that firm footing, that firm foundation. Because maybe, just maybe, that hand up is going to be the hand up they need to realize the greatest need of their life is need of Jesus. That's where our need needs to be put, right? That's where we need to admit, I need help. Jesus, I can't do this on my own. I don't have the strength. I don't have whatever. Life is to this or life is to that. Jesus is the one saying, come and bring your needs to me. Let me be the sole one that can give you absolutely everything that you need. Maybe not what you want, but what you need. What you need to live a life full of purpose and joy and blessing. So that then all of us, those that he's pulled up out of the muck, and he's pulled us all up and out of it at some point, right? We've all been there. But when he pulls us up, then we're now in a place to go and be a blessing to others. Jesus is the only one that can truly meet every need. He's the only one that can truly heal, that can truly bring wholeness. Luke 5:31 says, Jesus answered them, healthy people don't need a doctor, sick people do. And he is the ultimate doctor. He's the one that ultimately can bring all that we need to get out of that spiral, that downward spiral, that endless cycle that we weren't called to live in. I'm going to ask you to stand, if you will.